All right, friends, here we are. Episode 38, the very last episode of James for You, the chew through the book James for You by Sam Alberry, and also through the book of James. Yesterday in episode 36, we were chewing through a lot of the questions like, is it the church's responsibility to know that I need prayed over with oil, that I need to be prayed for and prayed over, that I might be healed from my sickness and my suffering? Is it my job as a Christian, if the scripture tells me to always be cheerful, does that mean I'm supposed to always be chipper? What's the difference there? And then also we spoke about the, does it mean if somebody does come and put oil on me and pray over me, does that mean that I am supposed to be healed in that moment? We spoke about a lot of that yesterday, understanding that if God's will and plan includes you being healed at that time, then yes, it will be there. But a lot of times, especially when you have a sickness that is based on a lifestyle, the Lord will then provide resources that help you walk through a healing. I call these gradual healings. And this is something that's so beautiful. It's a healing all the same, but it's the Lord not only healing your body, but it's training you up out of the sin, out of the evil that has taken you to that place, the stronghold that has held you down. And he's wanting to break chains and he's wanting you to be a part of it. So that's a really beautiful thing. And we moved on to verses 16 through 18 in chapter 5 of James. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in effect. Elijah was a human being as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. So the story of Elijah. Elijah was a man. He had no supernatural powers, just like me and you. But as he stayed in relationship with the Lord, he followed direction on how to pray. He wanted to match the heart of the Father. He prayed that it would not rain to help them fully understand who makes provisions for them. Take a deep breath on that. How often do the people around you, they're ungrateful and they're not seeing how good he is? Are you willing to pray a prayer that might hurt you, that might cause you to suffer in order for them to see? Are you willing to be long-suffering along with them so that they might know the greater glory that is him? So anyways, take that in. I think that's a question I need to consider for myself right there. Then eventually, when they came back to their senses, he prayed again that the rain would come back, and God did. God didn't answer his. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm stumbling over my words. God did not answer his prayer on a whim. He answered his prayer in order to be glorified, and so yes, then the rains came back, and he showed himself to be faithful, and the people knew him to be faithful. So again, the fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, what does that mean? We're asking all these questions and it's clearing that up here in this section. It means that the effectiveness of our prayers are based on the faithfulness of our God. Again, we go back to the thing where we were talking about yesterday, that it's not just the oil or the person praying that's bringing in the healing. Let's think about who God is. Let's explain through this word, this sentence right here. The effectiveness of our prayers are based on the faithfulness of our God. That means in order for your prayers to be powerful and effective, it requires two things. It requires faithfulness and holiness. And you can ask yourself, you can answer this right here. Are either one of these things something we can generate on our own? And of course, we know that's not true. We don't have the power to do that, but God can. He is not only able, but friends, he is more than willing. For he wants to make you consistent, persistent. He wants to make you faithful. He wants to consecrate you. He wants to sanctify you, to make you righteous, to make you holy. Because when you get there, when you get to that point of righteousness and holiness, he wants to pour out on you prayers that match his heart. Well, and I say, once you get to that point, we recognize that it's all through the process he's doing. He's raising us up and pouring out more prayers that make us more like him. But as we get to this place, we can get to this place where Elijah is, where he could pray something so powerful because his heart was willing to suffer like the heart of God. And of course, through Jesus, we see that willingness to suffer. And so don't we want to be trained up in such a way where suffering is something we actually long for, so that others can be saved from death, hell, and the grave? That sounds all, I guess it sounds all, Bible thumping, whatever. But y'all, this is what we're here for. We're here to help in the process, to help people grow in Christ. And part of that includes suffering. Okay. So the scripture says that God's answer to the Holy Spirit is always yes. This means that he wants to bless you with himself. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be known, because the heart of God is, of course, perfect. And the Holy Spirit is saying, Lord, will you make their heart like yours? And God is saying, yes, yes, please, more yes. And so the Holy Spirit is going to work on our behalf. And he wants us to be able to pray his prayers for you, for others. He wants us to be able to do that. And so he's continually making you like him. So when Elijah prayed again, the rains came, the people were blessed. And wouldn't you like to be a part of prayers that change things? Not so that you're the hero, but so that God is known. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, this means that God has given us the power and confidence to pray in his holy name so that he might be known through healing. I mean, y'all, do you drink that in? Do you think about that? That God wants you to pray in his holy name. He wants you to hear. What if he's ever saying to you, it's time for this person to be healed. Will you lay hands on them and pray? And you're like, oh, that's awkward. No thanks. And there you totally miss the opportunity to be a part of it. I heard a story told a long time ago that says it's not a story, it's just a thought, that God wants to use you. And you need to be active in your church. And remember, we were talking about yesterday being a member of a church. This is for the membership that James is talking to. You need to be a member of a church. And until you get to be a part of this big movement, this big revelation, revival that you really want to be a part of, you need to be doing basic things like sweeping the floor. And so it said, so whether you go get a literal broom or a figurative broom, get to work in the church with your broom. And when the Lord is ready to use you, he'll come and get you. But if you're not there with that broom, then he's going to use somebody else. So I wonder how many times in your life, in my life, that there's been an opportunity to lay hands and pray for actual healing. Healing that we get to experience. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we won't even be able to see on this earth. And we do a lot of our praying based on what we can see. But I wonder how much praying that we refuse to do, that he's saying, I want to show you. I want to show you my glory. I want to give you more of me. So I encourage you to think about that. Where are you refusing to lay hands because it weirds you out? I know I've been there. Okay. So the scripture, it means, like I just said, it gives us confidence to pray in his holy name. We have the power, I think I'm reading my same line again, but I'm going to say it again. We have the power to lay hands on and proclaim that the will of God be done in this person's life, knowing that this could mean any level of healing, but most importantly, that they are made new in Christ. We get to watch that healing sometimes. And again, we're weirded out because we get into that place where we say, it's none of my business, or this is just not the right time. And that's a lie. That's not true. We want to see people that are saved from death, hell, and the grave. Now, the question for you is, do you believe that you have been given this power? Do you believe that God has granted this to you? And this leads us to the last two verses, verses 19 and 20. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So if we were in class together, I would say, what other great scripture does this make you think of? Great, wink, wink. We've got that key word there. Of course, it's the Great Commission. Let's read this. Let's really consider that these are Jesus's words. This is not just anybody, which anybody speaking in the closed canon, the inerrant word of God, we can take that to be valuable. But when you got red letters, when you got Jesus talking to you, this is something you really need to listen to. And this is in Matthew 28. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." He's saying, I got everything I need. I am backed by the kingdom of heaven, by the Father of all mankind. And I am the Savior of all mankind. So I'm telling you, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is saying to you, yes, I do have the authority to say this. And yes, I am passing that authority on to you. And I know there's this part of me, I'm sure there is of you too, where when you hear that, God passing that authority on to me, you think, nah, that's just for the pastor. That's just for the deacon. That is just for the church leadership. That's just for the woman in ministry or the man in ministry. That is just for somebody else. That's not me, because that's not who I was made to be. And I want to tell you, that is such a false, it's evil. It's straight evil coming out of the mouth of the father of all lies, because what he wants to make you believe is that there's only a specific number of people. First of all, he wants to make you believe that there's only a specific number of people that have been called by God at all, much less to then preach the word. So he wants to sort of pigeonhole you and put you out of that, isolate you, ostracize you out of that bracket. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. We have Paul, we have James, and there we have Jesus with the red letters telling us that we have the power to teach what he has commanded. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. While casseroles may have some power, not good for you. Make sure your casserole has kale in it. They do not have the power that has been given to us through prayer. And so, and that scripture says that we are to go teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And so we're teaching them how to pray. We're teaching them by our example. I mean, go ahead, make the casserole. Yes, put kale in it. Do something healthy with it. Stop putting cheese and sour cream on all your casseroles. But go in prayer. And as you deliver that casserole, you lay hands on that person. And you say, I'm here to pray in the name of Jesus. And of course, we're going to trust whatever he chooses to do. But we're here together praying in his name for his will to be done and for his name to be known. And then I can guarantee you, if you're praying in the Spirit, if you're moving in the Spirit, there will be a level of healing for both of you. Always spiritual healing. And then hopefully some physical healing. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think of? That God has some sort of healing lined up for you in every prayer that you pray. Y'all, I don't know. We have such a hard time being faithful in prayer. Now, I can say here, as we wrap up this series, this has challenged me so much, because I've recognized that while I do faithfully and consistently pray, I do it on my time. And I do think the Lord gives me these beautiful moments where I go to him and he says, there you are, sweet girl, I've been missing you. But overall, I go when I'm ready to go. And if I'm busy, if I'm in the middle of something, and y'all, I'm being super transparent, if not vulnerable right here, by saying, Lord, I'll do that when I finish this. And y'all, that's just flat sin. Or like I said just a second ago, this is too weird. I'm going to make them uncomfortable. Do you ever recognize that sometimes that uncomfortable is Satan just trying to get in the way? And the moment you lay hands on somebody, they just come apart with gratitude because they have felt left alone. And think about all the times in your life where you felt like you've been forgotten and you've been left alone because somebody hasn't laid a hand on you, or somebody hasn't even just laid an eye on you and said, I see you. So it's time to flip that around. It's time to stop just trying to be seen or just trying to be prayed for, and it's time to pray. Satan will have you floundering in your pity party. He wants to separate you from the joy that comes from a strong prayer life. You know, that scripture, or excuse me, that song, that old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I mean, think about that. We sing that. What a true friend we have in Him. This is a friend who wants to help us know the mysteries. He wants to help us be a part. Satan, he doesn't like for you to be in God's Word. He can't stand it, in fact, but he's not as much bothered by that as he is with the conversation that you have with God the Father, with Jesus, His Son, who is sitting at His right hand praying for you. He is praying for you. He is advocating for you that you might move from your sin. And you better believe it, brothers and sisters. He is advocating on your behalf that you will become stronger in your prayer life. You know, as we move into this summer season, and this is something that I'm going to expand upon on my blog and talk more about, but we get really caught up in vacation culture. We get really caught up in what it is we deserve because we've worked so hard for this season, and all of a sudden we should take these 3 months or however long and just totally become gluttonous in our spending, in our eating, in our behaviors, and do whatever. And then we'll come back to church in the fall and get that all right. And no, y'all, I think we need to turn into this season and really relinquish our time and our thoughts, our vacations, our every moment. We need to ask the Lord what it is that He will have us learn from Him in this summer season, how we can grow in Him. And yes, y'all, vacations are not evil. They're not bad. But are they a hindrance to your prayer life? Does your walk with the Lord suffer because you've got time at the beach? That's something to consider. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up now with this last bit by Sam Alberry here in chapter 10. He says, prayer is always the answer. Prayer is always the answer. James begins this section with the importance of prayer once again. He describes a range of circumstances that a believer might find themselves in trouble, happy, ill. In each case, the response is to pray. Life is always going to be a mixture of ups and downs, but the constant among Christians is to be how we respond. We are to bring it all before the Lord, whether in praise or prayer. There is no situation in life where prayer to God is not relevant or right. Our whole lives are to be lived in relation to God. There's never a time when it's not good to pray. So, why not now? I encourage you, as you wrap this up, as you turn this podcast off, that you take some time, whether you're riding, whether you are jogging, whether you're doing laundry, but you take a deep breath and you actually sit down and ask the Lord to show you the darkness in your prayer life and then to teach you how to come up out of that darkness. And remember this, y'all, that where there is light, there can be no darkness. Where there is light, the darkness cannot comprehend it. The demons will shudder and they will run, and the fervent prayer of a righteous man will be effective. All right. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I look forward to doing the next book with you. I don't know exactly when that's going to be. If I'm going to be doing some in the summer, possibly, but most likely we're looking at our next book in the fall. But keep your ears to the ground here on A Heart Refined, because there's going to be some random podcast. And obviously you can check me out on Patreon, A Heart Refined on Patreon, or A Heart Refined on Facebook. God bless you, friends. Talk to you soon.